and continuously take inventory of ourselves, identify our weaknesses so that we can improve ourselves. I have a weakness, and I know it's not just in my study in God's Word, it's in everything because I see it in everything. And I have a weakness of missing the forest for the trees. I get to looking at things, and the obvious I miss sometimes. And I think that's the great thing about God's Word. We often talk about how we go back in and we study time and time again, and we learn new things. We find new things. We see obvious things that we didn't really come to mind the first time because we're busy in the trees and we may have missed the forest. But I know I have to be constantly on guard of that. I'd like to talk tonight a minute before we extend the invitation about saving vessels. I know I talked to Donnie earlier in his class. In study for his class, I've started putting some thoughts together about saving vessels, because when we got over to Paul's instance on the ship, he told the sailors that God said, unless you stay in this vessel, you cannot be saved. And that kind of cued me up, and I thought, that's a great thought to kind of explore. And I think Donnie did a great job in class with it. I told him I wasn't going to do it, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to use it for an invitation. But saving vessels. God's always provided salvation. Before He ever created us, He saw to it that we were taken care of, that everything we needed in life was given to us, especially salvation. He set that plan before the foundations in Christ, and He was going to play that out. And I'm so thankful for that. But sometimes the world gets to looking at the trees and they miss these obvious facts that are right in front of us. Saving vessels. You thought about vessels. What was the first vessel that would probably come to your mind? You don't answer out loud, but just think in your mind. I think most of us, especially in our younger years, would think about the ark, wouldn't we? The ark is a wonderful story. It can teach us so many great things. But some of these things sometimes we may overlook, or I have, I'll admit, because when you look at Noah's ark in Genesis 6 and verse 14, God commanded Noah to make this ark. Man, his morality, his sinfulness had degraded to the point that every thought of every man was evil. It was an awful place to live. I can't imagine that. We see it today in society to some degree. I can't imagine what it would have been like in Noah's day. But it sets the stage for the great history that God showed us through Noah. When we think about Noah and this building of the ark, we often, especially in our younger years, we're captivated by the physical things about the ark that catches our attention. The building materials, the dimensions, getting all the animals on board. All those things are great, and they catch our mind in youth and keep it through our whole life. And it is wonderful things to think about, and we often do go back and study that. We've got to remind ourselves that salvation was found in Noah's obedience. I can't imagine it being so bad that God wanted to reboot man's existence, but that's exactly pretty much what happened with Noah. But Noah's family came with him, and salvation was found in that ark. But when we say salvation was found in the ark, we kind of miss some obvious things that we overlook or we look past. We got other points that we can learn from the ark. Obedience in building this ark and following those exact dimensions and all that were very important, and we often preach that. But we need to keep in mind the fact that if Noah and his family had not gone into that ark, had not obeyed God in their entering the ark, salvation would have never happened. There's a lot of people that died. Every man on earth died from that flood. The only ones that got saved were the eight that entered. So salvation was in entering that ark for man. In Genesis 7 and verse 1, God also commanded Noah to get in with all his and his family got in. Without entering that ark, salvation couldn't have been had. But also, Without staying in that ark, salvation would have not been had. Listen, there was a lot of ships then, I'm sure. Man's existence had flourished. There was ships there. There was no other arks built the way God said. But it was important that they get in that ark and that they stay in until God gave them command to come out. I often overlook that. But in Genesis 8 and verse 16 is where God commanded them to come out of the ark. He had worked His providence. Things were ready. And God gave them the command. So staying in that ark until they were given permission to come out was very, very important. Just as important. We overlook these things sometimes. Fast forward your minds now about 2,500 years. And we get to Acts that we mentioned a while ago with Paul. In Acts 27 and verse 6, we see there where the centurion placed Paul on this Alexandrian ship. 275 or 6 others as well, but Paul's placed on this ship because it was mandated for Paul. Jesus Christ told him, I think in chapter 23 and verse 11, he was going to Rome. Now, Paul had already been to Jerusalem. We know that story as well, too, or that history as well, too, from our recent study in Acts. Paul was warned by many of his loved ones, especially the elders, Ephesus elders, you're going into trouble. Paul had been to Jerusalem. He'd been through that. And the Lord reminds him in 23 verse 11, you're going to Rome, too. You're going to bear witness of me in Rome. So a vessel was provided once again. Similarity that we may see with our first example. A vessel was provided and the journey was began in it. Just as in Noah's day, water played a big part in this account with Paul. The water controlled man. The water controlled where he went. God controlled these things and played His providence out through His powers that He possessed and the use of water. But God used a vessel again to save them. Acts 27 and verse 23 and 24, the angel of God gives Paul and those who would listen to him on that ship some comfort in saying that you're going to be all right. Everything else is going to be lost, but the souls of these people will be all right. But let's not forget that that hinged also on obedience to what God had said. Again, man had to obey to be saved. And he mentions in Acts 27 and 31, when the sailors take it into their own hands to exit the ship, to set the anchors for the prow or the bow of the ship in an effort to save themselves, man's effort to save himself, Paul warns them, if you get out of the ship, you cannot be saved. I think that ties in great with our first example. They were told, God will save us. He's told us that. Man's efforts are not needed in these matters. He will see to it, but we have to obey Him if we're going to have that salvation by staying in the ship. Just reminds me that man's never been able to dictate his own means and his own methods for his own salvation. I looked at some similarities in these two examples that we had. In both instances, God controlled circumstances with the water. Water was used to confine and control and to play out His providence. It's really great when we see that, especially in the example of the ark, when God flooded the whole earth. What power He has in a raindrop and in water that man can't touch. Can't turn. But in all these examples, salvation and safety was only found in the confines of God's instructions. Obedience to what He gave them and not out. In the vessel, in a sense. God always has provided a vessel, a lifeboat of salvation. He's always mandated the means and the methods just the same as our examples of how we enter in, how we stay in for salvation. It's no different today. But we need to know that the vessels are of no benefit to any of us unless we obey His instructions and we get in that vessel and we stay in it. That's our choice. God's blessed us with freedom of choice. He forces no man to accept salvation. Those who do have to get in that vessel and they have to stay in. Salvation's the same. Man finds it today from the world's, you could say the world's sees, the world's sins that we're caught up in. He provides us a vessel, a salvation, a means and a mechanism to survive these worldly sins and places. But like the ark, there's only one vessel that's going to make it through those waters, and that's the church. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 reminds us that the church is the body of Christ. Amen. And Ephesians 4, 4 through 6 remind us that there's only one, just like the ark. There's only one vessel we're going to get in, that we're going to join, that we're going to enter, that's going to save us. Only one body, one spirit, just as you're called in one calling, or one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God of all, above all, through all, and in you all. One. Another thought, ironically, where water controlled man before, it still controls in a sense, but now water is a means to safety, to salvation. Water is now how we enter that vessel, how we find salvation. 1 Corinthians 12:13 reminds us that we are baptized into one body. That water is our salvation into that body. That's that final act that enters, that we enter through. We still are not allowed and can't create, and I don't know why man thinks that he can now form another vessel, build his own ship the way he wants it, put his own means and methods into it, and expect the same result. That doesn't work. Any other vessel other than God's vessel, the church, any other vessel will not work. It's not going to make it. Galatians 1, 6 through 9 reminds us. Paul mentioned there to the Galatians how amazed he was at how soon they had left the gospel to another, which there's not another, he mentions. There's only one. There's only one church, one gospel, one faith, one Lord, one baptism. That's the only way salvation is going to be. No other vessels. 1 Timothy 1, 19 and 20 gives us an example. A couple examples, really, in the letters to Timothy. There's one in the second letter as well of men who veer from the truth. Just like the Galatians, he told them, you leave the gospel, you leave this one gospel, you're lost. Also in 1 Timothy 1, 19 and 20, it says, having faith and a good conscience which some having rejected concerning the faith have suffered shipwreck. Good analogy based on what we're looking at. Ships, vessels. It says here, having faith and a good conscience which some having rejected concerning the faith and have suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus, Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. But we see an example here of one that tried it their own way. Salvation wasn't there. They've been delivered to Satan in hopes that they would change their way. 2 Timothy 2, 17 through 19. He's talking about verse 16, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. And their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of these sort, who have strayed concerning the truth. These are the ones who've strayed out on their own, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they've overthrown the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But we've got two examples there of ones who left the truth, as it said here, left the faith, the one faith, and went their own way. I guess the good point to finish up on this evening would be the point that even today, when it comes to salvation, it's still up to us as men of whether we enter and receive that salvation or whether we reject it. If you're here this evening and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, these are the things you need to be thinking about. Because every time we fall under the ear of God, the gospel and salvation in Christ, we've had another opportunity to make our lives right. God's provided us another circumstance that we can make ourselves right. That vessel is pulled up and the boarding ramp is down for you. You can enter it or refuse it. But we've got to get in, and just as the sailors were on the Alexandrian ship, you've got to stay in. We've got to stay in the church. We see today, we see faithful congregations that over the years have fallen away and fallen into apostasy. We have to make sure we stay in, because we can fall in. And some who believe that once saved, always saved, they need to understand these things. Just as we get in that ship, we can enter it and we can leave it. But salvation is not going to be found unless we're faithful unto death, Revelation 2:10. Only then are we going to receive that crown of life. Think about those things tonight. If you've never accepted Christ, now's the time to do that. Maybe you're here and you've done that. Things have drawn you away. Maybe you need the prayers of the congregation. Any of these things, we're here to help and to encourage one another. If we can help in any way, make your way forward as we stand and as we sing.